Like, you can be happy, you can be sad, you can be upset, you can be mad, you can feel like you deserve it. Like, you can have all sorts of feelings to eat, and that is emotional eating.
Exactly. And, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I believed what they said. Like, I believed that I wasn't good enough, and I believed that being fat was the worst thing that you could be. And, you know, it didn't matter that I was funny and kind, and because I was fat and I had big glasses as well, you know, thick Coke bottle glasses. So I was the perfect target for everybody.
Hey, it's Mel. Before we dive in, just a quick note. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The insights shared by our guests are not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with your healthcare provider before making changes to your diet, exercise, or lifestyle. Now let's get to the show.
Welcome back to our Sleep Life podcast, and I am your host, Mel. And today we have like a unicorn that's going to be on the call with us because she has done so many things. She's a weight loss patient. She has produced her own book, guys, and she's here to help people. And that's what I love. So I want to welcome on to the show. Her name is Brenda Langford.
Hello.
How are you doing
today?
Nice
intro. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
My gosh, your pug is so cute.
Yes. If you're on YouTube, I got Novers and she's just, you know, give me kisses. Who's Jess? Alrighty. So let's get to know you some, Brenda. Yeah. So what's your handle so they know like where you're at?
So Instagram, I'm the incredible shrinking Brenda.
Awesome. And are you on TikTok too?
No, I'm not. I am looking into that. But yeah, I'm just not used to the whole formatting of TikTok. So I'll look into
It's a beast.
Yeah. A little intimidating.
It is. It is. I don't blame you. It took me a few years. Like, it was literally JBY2 because when we had Just Be You, we actually ended up finally having TikTok and Instagram there, because before it was all Instagram and like Facebook, and now TikTok came over like a vengeance with like they took over. It was wild. So they all taught us like what to do, because we're like, we just use Instagram.
I know I'm a bit old school that way too. Like, I feel like I haven't caught up with everyone yet.
Same girlfriend. So tell us what is like happening in your journey. How did you start?
Okay, so like you, I was always the chubby child, and I had a lot of bullying growing up, and I think I didn't cope with that very well and, you know, turned to food, ended up getting bigger and bigger. And in adulthood, I wasn't even moving as much because I had a car and I wasn't at school, and so the pounds really came on then. And, you know, I had a bit of trauma here and there, and my way to cope was eating. When I was an adult, so I was in my mid-30s, and my mom got sick. She had cancer, and that really exacerbated my obesity. Like, I was already super morbidly obese by that point, but losing her was really hard. And then 2 years later, I lost my dad as well, and I'm an only child.
No.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I'm living in Australia at the moment. I'm Canadian, so then being an only child, I had to go over there and deal with everything, you know, and the burden was on me. And that was pretty traumatic, that whole...
I would imagine.
Yeah. And so even though... And the problem then, so the same week that my dad died, I was getting some pain in my side. So I was about over 400 pounds at this point. And I was getting some pain in my side, and I went to my doctor. And my doctor told me that the reason I'm getting that pain is because my liver is very enlarged. It was like severely infiltrated with fat. So I had non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and it was pressing on all the organs. And then she said my heart and my spleen were also enlarged. And she said, if you continue on this trajectory, you're not going to live another 5 years.
Whoa.
And I was 38 years old. And, you know,
that's
I was pretty
scary.
Classic. Yeah, I was terrified, especially because my parents had just died. My dad just died 3 days beforehand, and he died from a liver issue as well. So I was terrified.
My goodness, girlfriend.
Yeah, so I had a lot of trauma going on.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it sounds like it started in childhood like me. Like, you said that you were bullied. Like, I know what that's like. Like, I talked about this on another episode where, like, the bullying's different than because I'm 39 years old, and bullying when it was my era, like, it was physical. You know, it's not the online bullying. Not that I'm saying any online bullying's not, because that shit's scary too.
Me too. And I'm so glad we didn't have to deal with that.
Yes. Yeah. So we had to deal with it physically. And yeah, I've been thrown into lockers. I've been called all sorts of names and just been like, you know, just I'm done. Like, it was funny because I'd be like, either I'm a nerd, I'm a fat nerd, or I'm a fat bitch, or like, it was stupid. It was so bad. Yeah,
it was stupid. Yeah. And the thing is like, I know they're just kids, and kids can be mean and cruel, and but it affects you profoundly, especially if you don't have thick skin. You know, and
right. Well, and that's the deal. Is like, what is that dumb saying? Like, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Yeah, right.
The words hurt the most.
Exactly. They're the ones that get embedded into the brain, you know?
Yes. Like, we like for me, like, I just, yeah, I pushed that shit back with food. Yeah. And I didn't even know I was doing that because I'm part of the group that thought, like, you have to be crying to be emotionally eating. And that is not the truth.
Yeah.
Like, you can be happy, you can be sad, you can be upset, you can be mad, you can feel like you deserve it. Like, you can have all sorts of feelings to eat, and that is emotional eating.
Exactly. And, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I believed what they said. Like, I believed that I wasn't good enough, and I believed that being fat was the worst thing that you could be. And, you know, it didn't matter that I was funny and kind, and because I was fat and I had big glasses as well, you know, thick Coke bottle glasses. So I was the perfect target for everybody.
Oh, 100%. I used to worry about smelling.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, we had people in school that would have, like, the fat person smell. And I know what that smell is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about too.
Yes, like, because my family's all big people, and I've definitely smelled this before. And I'm just like, I was so scared because Melanie.
Of course.
I knew. And so I would like over, and that's kind of why probably I take so long to get ready. Like, I like overly clean. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm just so scared to ever smell bad, because it's going to be a Melanie. And then it's going to be like, she's fat and gross. And like, it just gets bad real fast. So it's like, little things just do like really stick with you.
That is an unfortunate name for when you're dealing with something like that. Yes.
Yes. And being over 200 pounds as a, like, a, you know, what, 14 year old. So it's like, it's crazy, but my point is that, like, we can, like, we got bullied and we ended up eating instead of doing
other
things.
And like you said, you don't really realize it, right? It's subconscious because you're a kid, you know?
Yeah.
You only realize these things afterwards when you reach adulthood. Yeah.
Because you're more aware.
That's right. Like, I mean, I knew I wasn't supposed to be eating things all the time. And, you know, like, I knew, like, that way, but.
Right.
I didn't think it was going to affect me so much. No.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't think that, like, me eating like queso and chips was going to be a problem.
Yeah, right.
What was the thing for you? Like, what was your comfort food?
Oh, like chips and chocolate, basically.
Okay. The salt and sweet.
Yeah. And I grew up in a really isolated town in Northern Canada. So like, we didn't have a whole lot of fresh fruits and veggies. So everything was like frozen or tinned, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that made it a little bit harder as well. I mean, I can't use that as an excuse really though, because there were other people who managed to eat healthy, but it just added a level of difficulty there. Yeah.
Well, and we're learning that, you know, obesity is a disease. So it's like, of course, there's going to be people where it doesn't affect and other people it does. Like, and we, unfortunately, we are part of the group that has that. And now we know. And now we need to, like, that's why I got the surgery, because my my father did pass away as well. But he died at 59 and I was over 300 pounds. My brother was over 400 pounds. Scared the shit out of us, because my brother already had 3 kids. I had 1 kid. And we're like, shit, we're going to die early. Because, like, literally, there's only one aunt. She's still alive, Aunt Bev. She's one of 9 left.
Wow.
Like, no one lives past, like in their 60s. Like, it's, like, 70 is the mark. But she has passed it by a couple of years now.
Yeah, we have a lot in common.
That's really?
Same with my family, too. Like, my mom was 56 when she died. My dad was 58. I have one auntie left as well, and she's 87 now. But yeah.
Damn. Yeah, we do have a lot. So, like, this is very, like, probably why we're so, like, talking so similarly of things that we've had to deal with. Because, yeah, because it's just, like, it's wild. Because, like, for me and my brother, it scared the crap out of us. So we were like, we got to do something.
So how old were you when your dad died?
I was 24.
Right.
24, 25, I think.
Yeah. So I was in my mid-30s. But, yeah, same thing, though. Yep. Scared the crap out of me.
100. Well, yeah, because like when someone that close to you dies and you realize like death is real.
Yeah.
Like this is not a joke. There's no respawn here.
Oh, sorry.
No, go.
I was going to say when I had to go back to Canada to deal with the estate and everything, that's when it really hit me because my mom's urn was there on the mantle. And then my dad's came in the mail when we got there. So then his was on the mantle and I was literally staring death in the face. Like it was literally. And I thought, and the doctor just told me I had less than 5 years to live. So yeah, that was really scary.
So what did you think about in that moment?
Oh, you know, I had so much going on because I had so much to do there. You know, I had to sell the house. I had to get everything out of the house. I had to deal with the banking and like everything. I had so much to do, like, and then the grieving.
Yeah. Which doesn't come until after all that.
You know, and it was just so hard to process everything. Yeah. And I was having a hard time, but I did know that I had to start eating healthier. You know, I did know. So I did start looking up, like, what do I need to do to help my liver? Because the liver was the biggest problem. So I started eating more things like broccoli and, you know, just things that are supposed to be good for the liver and liver cleansing cereals and things like that, which really aren't that great. But I thought back then, you know, like, this is what I can do for now and drink more water and things like that. So just, yeah, it was hard. And also being in Canada, you know, because I've been in Australia for so long, my husband came with me and I wanted to show him all the things in Canada. I wanted to show him Tim Hortons and A&W and Wendy's. And, you know, I wanted to show him all those things, but I knew that I couldn't eat much of it myself. So it was hard.
So what made you switch? Like when did you call? Like when did you change your life?
Well, after I had gotten home from dealing with all that, that's when I realized, okay, now like I really have to do something. Like you said, the grief hit then. So
it's always after.
Yep. It was bad timing because that's when it hit and I just couldn't deal. Yep. And I started eating worse and I started getting more weight. And at my highest, I got up to 488. So I was almost 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And suddenly my back started seizing on me. Ooh. And I realized that my mobility was getting affected and I realized, okay, like I can't do this by myself now. I have to get help.
Right.
And so that's when I started looking into weight loss surgery.
I'm so happy you did because you look lovely and vibrant today. So how'd you find your doctor?
Well, so there's a little funny story with that. So I went to this first guy that I went to, you know, I had been watching my 600-pound life on TV. So that was the only information I really had about weight loss surgery back then, because this was about 7.5 years ago now.
Yeah.
Well, 8, 9 years ago now. And I went to the first guy and I said to him, okay, so this sounds really good. When can we do it? And he said, I can get you in 3 weeks, he said. And I was really shocked. And I thought, oh, no. Like, don't I have to go through a big process and, you know, 18 months of this and that? And he said, oh, no, 3 weeks, we can get it done. And it scared me so much that I just backed away.
Yeah, I could see why. Because that is like literally going from 0 to 100 so fast.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, you got to process this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, nope, can't do that. And I actually went 2 more years before I looked into it again. So in those 2 years, I tried to lose a bit of weight.
Okay.
I tried to like eat better and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't really working. I couldn't move much. And, you know, it wasn't working. So I decided to look up at this other guy and I went up to him and funnily enough, it's the first one's colleague. Like they actually work on people together.
Oh, okay.
So when I walked in there, I knew he was the one. He was just so down to earth. Dr. Garth McLeod. He was just so down to earth and he just really felt like he really wanted to help me, you know?
Aw, that's what we want.
Person. Yeah. Not just a patient, but as a person.
Yeah.
And so that's when he told me about the other doctor and that they were going to perform the surgery together on me. So the other one was still involved.
So it wasn't a 3-week process this time. It was a different. Okay.
So here in Australia, you have to have, unless you're rich, you have to have private health insurance. So that'll help cover part of the surgery. And it covers the hospital portion, but it's a 12-month waiting period. And I had used up 6 months of that, but I still had 6 months I had to wait. So I saw him in February, and because I had the 6 months, I said, okay, let's do it in August. So I had 6 months to really go through the process. And I needed that too, because there's a lot of scans and tests and everything that you have to do before you actually go in. So it was good timing.
And I think it's, me personally, going back, because mine was 3 months, I wish it was a 6-month thing, because I needed more of the mental stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's really where my stuff was lying and I didn't know. So all I got was a 15-minute evaluation call.
Wow.
And that's it. What did they have you do?
I had a 1-hour sit down with a psychologist.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did have the option to see her more, but I had to pay for that. But the price included 1 hour. So, and I thought that went really well, to be honest. I'm an intelligent person, but I still, like, emotionally, obviously, mentally, I did need a little bit of help, and I probably should have seen her a bit more than what I did.
So you haven't gone back at all?
No, I haven't.
Oh, girlfriend, you can go back at any time.
I know.
10 years out, and I started it at 8 years out. So I'm just as bad. So, but I waited for a big T to happen, and I realized that, like, you don't have to wait for that.
Yeah.
And you've actually already said some big T's. So yeah, you should go and talk and get it all out.
And what's really great about my weight loss surgeon is every so often, like once a year or once every 18 months, he has these nurses education days that he puts on for the nurses at the hospitals around here that he works at. And he has people like me go up and do a little speech and talk to everybody to try to, I guess, change their perspective and, you know, try to destigmatize weight loss surgery. And all that's been really great for me.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's been helping with mental health too.
It has, because it feels like I'm getting a life back again and helping people. And
So which surgery did you get? And then how much have you lost?
All right. So I had the sleeve.
Yay.
thanks. And I at my lowest, I had lost 310 pounds.
Okay. So would that put you at 180?
Yeah, I was about 176, I think, at my lowest.
Okay.
It's hard to remember because in Australia we go by kilograms, so I have to convert. Yeah, it was about 176, I think it was. But now I'm a bit over 200. I've gained about 44 pounds.
Been there, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've also had a little bit of, like, friendship trauma and coach trauma and things like that that haven't helped. But I've also had injuries. Now, my big problem is my injuries. So they started almost 2 years ago. I've been going to the gym. So it's not just, you know, I just sit around and do nothing. I've been going to the gym 5-6 days a week for the past 5 years now.
So you got into exercising.
Yeah, I really did.
Oh, what's your favorite? Sorry.
Oh my gosh. I like most everything. I don't love working my legs. But upper body exercise is just everything.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just happy to sweat and feel strong. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So 5 years you've been doing this.
Yeah.
5 days a week. You've been loving it, but sounds like there's some injuries coming in.
Yeah. So there's a lot of aspects to my life, but I've also had a lot of skin removal surgeries in there too. So in that 5 years, I've had a lot of surgery recoveries and then gone back to the gym sort of thing. But lately, the thing that I've been dealing with, I have a groin injury, and then I had to get a knee replacement. So I'm only 9 weeks post knee replacement at the moment, which obviously was caused from the obesity.
You know,
So I didn't come out of it unscathed. I'm still dealing with issues from that, but yeah, I'll probably have to get the other one done probably in the next 18 months or so.
Okay. Well, and it sounds like a lot of us will have to get those done later on in life as well.
Yeah.
Because of that weight,
I thought it was okay, but no, it caught up to me. So,
So what kind of skin removal did you get?
Sorry?
What kind of skin removal did you get?
Okay. So I've got the works. My first one was a lower body, a lower body lift.
Okay.
So I had a 360 belt lipectomy, and then I had the fleur-de-lis abdominoplasty with it. And that was really big in itself. It was supposed to be a 7-hour surgery, and it ended up being 9.
Ooh, because, what happened?
Well, it just took him a lot of sutures to put me back together. It was 800 sutures to put me back together, which took him about 3 hours just in itself. So, yeah,
holy
it was
moly.
A big surgery. I had a lot of skin.
So how much was the weight on the skin? Do you remember?
That one was 8. Oh, 8
pounds.
Kilos. 8 kilos. So that would be about 16, about 20 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 pounds of skin with that one.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that was quite a big one. And then...
How was the recovery on that? Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that was hard.
Okay. You know, did you have help?
I did. Yeah. I've got my husband and my 2 kids. And so, yeah, I had a lot of help from them, which was great. But, oh, those recoveries, they're not easy. Oh, my gosh.
No.
And they tell you, like, they warn you it's going to be bad, but yeah. But waking up and not having that apron skin that I had hanging down for so long, which was so hard to exercise with as well.
I'm sure.
Well, that was the best moment in my whole journey, was knowing that that was gone. Yeah.
Well, like, what was it like to wake up and just look? You know, you're just like...
I can't even describe the feeling. There's, like, no English word that can describe that feeling, but it was surreal. It really was.
I love that for you. So you have a husband and 2 kids. How old are the kids?
Yeah. Well, they're a bit older now. So my eldest one just turned 28 and my youngest is 20. So I don't have any teenagers in the house anymore.
Ooh, that's got to be fun.
Yeah, it makes me feel old, but yes.
I have a 20-year-old. I get it. Don't you worry. So what was it like getting the bariatric surgery? Was everybody supportive? Were they helpful in the kitchen? Like, how was that like?
Yeah, it was really, no, they were really supportive, but my husband gets mad at me whenever I bring this up. But the day I came home from the hospital, they were eating bags of M&Ms. And I thought, like, what are you doing? I just came home from bariatric surgery. But anyway.
That's a oopsie daisies. You know? Oopsie daisies. Yeah.
So the bariatric surgery, I was high risk because I weighed so much. And they had to put me in the ICU. So I had a private hospital and I wasn't able to see the private rooms because I was in the ICU. And I was in there for 3 days. So I was, you know, surrounded by nurses and I had lots of help for 3 days. So I'm glad I had all that. But yeah, it wasn't an easy surgery recovery with that one either. Yeah.
And what was the date on that? When's your anniversary?
It was August 28th of 2018. So it's been 7.5 years now.
That's incredible. You are doing good. When you did get home and everything settled, how was that transition? Like the liquid diet, did you have a puree? Did you have soft foods? Like how did it go?
Yeah. So my specific surgeon does 2 weeks of everything. So it was 2 weeks of liquid, 2 weeks of puree, and then 2 weeks of soft food and then normal food again.
Yeah. Mine too.
Yeah, nice. I know a lot of them don't do that, but it's good. I think that's the best transition, that one.
I think so, too. And I've been, I say it all the time because, you'll hear, I got 1 week of each. And I'm like, I don't think I would have liked that. I don't think I would have been ready.
Yeah, exactly. And it's better for the insides to recover, you know, too.
That's what I thought. I was like, well, it's a baby tummy. I'm not fucking this shit up.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. I do remember one day when I was craving something, you know, I think I was still in the liquid phase and I bought Doritos and I licked them all. Instead of eating them, I just licked them all. And that satisfied my craving. So
sure. And I know you're not the only one. If you're watching or listening, go comment on this. Have you done that? Because I'm sure lots of us have. I did the dumb thing of I would chew it real quick and it would be the Pizza Hut with the stuffed crust. I really like the stuffed crust. And so I would chew it up and then I would just spit it out. And I did that. And I was like, I should probably not be doing this. This is not this is not healthy behavior. But
I needed it, but it's probably normal. You know?
Yeah, I've met some other people that have done it because I'm just like, I just needed the taste. Like, I didn't want to eat it. I just needed that flavor.
Well, these are highly palatable foods that we've become addicted to, and it's hard to just go cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
So what kind of foods did you start off with?
Oh, so with the liquids, obviously it was just protein, water and protein shakes basically for 2 weeks. And then when I got into the puree stage, there wasn't anything I really liked. And some people were telling me to go and have baby food. And I would just...
The same! Oh yeah, my God,
did
gross.
You try it?
No.
Me either. I couldn't do it. I went and I looked at it. I'm like, oh, that just looks so putrid.
Mm-hmm. I go, no.
Mm-mm. No. So my husband, who used to be a chef, actually, he decided that he was going to puree me up some steak Diane with mashed potatoes.
That sounds good.
It was so good. Now, even if when I tell people about it now, they're like, oh God, pureed steak. But oh my God, it tasted fantastic. It was the best thing I'd ever had in my life at that point. So
well, yeah. No, I love the flavor of steak. And then with potatoes, like how can you go wrong? Like,
and have you tried Diane sauce? Oh, that's so good.
No, what's the Diane sauce?
Oh, it's like cream in Worcestershire sauce with mushrooms. And
okay, that sounds delicious.
Oh, it is really nice.
And what kind of cream am I using?
Oh, I don't know what the equivalent would be over there, but here it's just like liquid cream, like cooking cream.
Oh, okay, like heavy, whipping cream. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I can do that. No, so it's not that.
It's not very healthy, though, so you just want to have just a little bit, but it is very nice.
Okay, so if he made you that, that's amazing. What else was on the plate?
But I did stick to the diet. Like, I did do the 2 weeks. Lots of eggs. I know a lot of people, you know, aren't able to eat eggs afterwards, but luckily I wasn't one of them, and I was able to have, like, egg muffins and hard-boiled eggs and things like that. It was really good, yeah.
Nice. Good for you. I love eggs. Like, I'm so happy I wasn't one of those people, because that would be so sad.
I know. There was one funny thing, though. I couldn't have runny eggs. Like, I couldn't have the yolk runny for a long time, probably 2 years. It just creeped me out.
I still can't.
Oh, there you go. Boy, yeah. We do have a lot in common. Wow.
I know. This is so random. It's like, and she lives on the opposite side of the world. Yeah. Like, this is amazing. And we both have really dark hair, dark eyes. Like, we're pale as fuck.
I think mine's just my lighting.
Probably, but that's okay. I'm just so white. I learned that I am basically half German, half Irish.
Oh,
it's like 47%, 43%. So
okay, I'm mostly German. There you go.
Oh, see, that's why there's a lot in common here. I feel it. I feel it. So what was that first thing that you ate that you were like, yes, thank you for having this?
Probably like actual steak. I love steak, and that's what it would have been. Yeah. It's nice. Like, okay, of course I couldn't eat much of it, you know, maybe 4 little bites and that's it. But, oh, that was wonderful. Yeah.
What's your cut of steak?
Well, it's different here in Australia. They do things different over here. But I do like what you would call, I guess, like a New York strip.
Okay. All right. Those are good.
Yeah. Or a T-bone. I like T-bones.
T-bones. T-bones are very good. I love that. Because, like, you can buy a T-bone and because of our tummies, we can share it.
Exactly.
Like, one can get one side and one can get the other, and we're totally fine.
That's right. And what I really love now, like, even being 7.5 years post-op, I can't eat a whole steak yet. You know, I can eat probably half of one, and that's it. So it's good.
It is good. It's because, like, it's so hearty.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it is, yeah.
That's really what I figured out after 10. It's like, yeah, it's just because I can eat way more chicken than I can steak.
Yeah, it's just heavier, I guess, isn't it? Yeah.
100%. So what are the meats that you like?
Yeah, basically, well, because I have a health and fitness coach, you know, I do what he tells me to do. And at the moment, I'm just eating beef, like a ground beef and chicken. So,
all right, easy peasy.
I'm allowed to have turkey, but I haven't had that yet. So
what kind of meals are you getting out of that?
Well, it's really good. Basically, just protein and vegetables and a bit of carbs. So... like what I'm supposed to be eating. He's a qualified sports nutritionist, so he's giving me the right stuff to eat. Yeah.
They're so good that I love the sports medicine people because like they know they're going down to like chemical like that. And I like that because it's like you're really getting the science behind it. Like, and really because when I think about this of like how I should eat now, because, like, tell me if you had this problem where you look at food and you're just like, how did I fit that in my stomach?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like, this is insane. And now I know.
Are your eyes bigger than your stomach even now? Like, do you go and like get a lot of food and then realize, oh, I can't eat that? What was I thinking?
Every time. Yeah. Every time. Like,
it's funny, isn't it?
It is, because that saying is so true. My eyes are bigger than my stomach. And now I'm just like, okay, like, what can I put in it to make sure it's nutritional? And like right now, like I'm on the poor era. So like we're making sure the food that I get is like as much as I can, like veggies, fruit, and meat first before I get any filler. And that's really been, I'm noticing a difference just in my energy and like my skin and stuff. It's like,
oh, that's good.
Cause it's so just like you're eating just meat, veggies, fruits, and a little bit of carbs. Like,
and are you still tracking your protein and everything?
I'm tracking just protein and water because it's still really hard for me to get my protein goal. Like I'm really, really trying.
Well, it's good. And the thing is when you track your protein so well, you don't really have to track anything else because it just kind of comes hand in hand. So it's good.
It does. That's what I try to tell people. I'm like, guys, don't, because everyone's worried about calories, sodium now. I'm hearing a lot about sodium.
Yeah.
I'm just like, guys, like, keep it simple. Like, that's stop right. getting too much into the weeds, because it's really, you need protein to function. You need water to replenish your body. Like, it's just, we got to go back to like layman's terms, you know, like caveman days. Simple. What were we eating? Meat, veggies, fruits, grains.
That's right.
Water. Like, it's really not that hard. We've just been in this diet culture. I think everything is crazy and there's so many different things about everything that like, what is there to believe? And it's like,
it's like cottage cheese is everywhere right now.
That's the new one, which I am in love with it too. I just can't believe it's so versatile.
I just saw one where they made a pizza crust with it. So I have to try that one.
Oh, I got to tell Shay, we got to do that for the weekly chew.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, I have this kind of like a club. It's the weekly chew where once a week you actually get all of your breakfast, lunch, and dinners and snacks. And desserts, and you get that every week for the month. So she literally pops it out on, I think it's like Sunday of every week.
That's cool.
So that way you can go grocery shopping. It has a grocery list for you, already has the macros done for you. So you don't even have to do that. So you can join that. And I'll tell Shay about this cottage cheese pizza crust because I like to explore. You never know what's going to taste good.
Well, that's right. And it's high in protein and it's healthy. So.
Exactly. And if it's good for you, then I'm going to do it. I have tasted some nasty shit in my time, but I've also tasted some really good things. So
you don't know until you try, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So what do you eat today? So you're saying it's just the basic.
Yeah.
Do you throw any supplements in or anything like that?
Oh, Well, I do have like one protein drink a day.
Okay.
Also, when I'm training, I like to have aminos. So I'm always drinking aminos. And it tastes so much better than just having plain water anyway. So it's nice to have flavored water when I do that. Okay. And every morning, I also like to do a big drink of greens as well. I think that really helps with the healthiness too. So
I'm sure. What kind of, where do you get your greens?
Well, the one that I use is actually from Red Dragon Nutritionals, and I think it's an Australian company, so you probably have to look elsewhere, but oh, it's the best tasting one I've found.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, some of them don't taste so great, and I mistakenly once bought a chocolate-flavored one. Chocolate and greens do not go together.
No, I would not assume so.
So the one I have right now is strawberry kiwi, and it's lovely.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. So you really, like, are putting in the work to like get your body really healthy, it sounds like.
Well, I'm getting back into it. Like I said, I've had a lot of injuries and I've had some like friendship issues and coach issues. And so that didn't help. And I did gain like 44 pounds, like I said. Right. So I'm trying to get that off now and I'm getting back into it all. And it feels great. Like I feel like I'm back again, which is amazing.
So was the coach also your friend?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, that didn't end well. And yeah, it's a long story, but I'm not going to go into that because in case he ever listens to this.
That's okay. Well, no, friendships really can do a number on your mental health. So
yeah,
you're not the only one that's had to cut out people in their lives. And like, I think I just watched a girl's reel that said like, Let's be real. When you get married to surgery, you're going to lose a friend or two, maybe a family member, maybe some coworkers. Like, it's real. So, you know, it's just something that we have to deal with and check ourselves with, because we need to make sure we're surrounding ourselves with people that actually like want to lift each other up.
Not be jealous of us. That's right.
Correct. And I've noticed that like once I cut out the negative people in my life, like even my family goes, your skin looks better. Your face is not so tense anymore. Like, you know, you're more playful. And it's like, yeah, because I don't have, like, I was getting myself wrapped up into other people's things. And it's like, I can't.
All right.
You know, I just can't. So it's, and you just have to be, what I learned, 2025 was the year I learned about your, like, energy and learning, like, who gets to have your energy and who doesn't get to have your energy. And I didn't realize like that's a thing, and it's a thing.
It's a thing. And I put too much of my energy into this old coach, and that was the problem too. So yes, but the one that I have now is great. So I'm quite happy. He's a lot more professional, which is good.
That's what you need. And as long as you are feel supported by this new coach, more power.
Exactly. And he doesn't put me down, and he doesn't berate me, and he doesn't, anyway. Yeah, it's great. It's all positive. Like, he pushes me hard, you know, and he kicks me up the backside sometimes, but in a positive, constructive way. So it's good.
Like a coach should do. I love this.
Exactly. He's doing his actual job. That's right.
So is there any, like, you know, I love to talk about like non-skill victories. So can you name a few non-skill victories that you're proud of?
Well, the biggest one, like I said at the beginning, my liver was really bad. And that was what was killing me. And a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago now, I asked my new doctor, because the other one had moved away, but I asked her if I could get another liver scan so we can just compare. And when it came back, the results said that my liver had resolved. So it didn't have any fat left in it whatsoever. And it was a normal size, and there's nothing wrong with it. So
congrats! Woo-hoo! Yeah. That is the best news ever. You should be so proud of yourself.
To think that, like, I went from dire straits to being healthy. I mean, I was just, I cried. I'm crying now.
Well, it's an emotional time, because you're not going to die in 5 years, right? Yeah. Like, you fixed that.
I did. And that was 10 years ago now. So I doubled it even. So,
now you're going to, like, quadruple.
I hope
five, I don't know what it is for five.
I just hope I don't get hit
all
by
the way up.
Yeah, that's right.
That is the one. Because I'm like, I want to live long.
Yes.
Because I could
Whenever
get hit
I
by
see
a
bus coming near me, I move out of the way, because I'm not getting hit by a bus today. I've gone through too much for this.
I know. And when I see buses, I just think of Final Destination. So I'm just
right?
Can't do it. Can't do it. We got to be far away from when they have the line, even for subways. I'm like, I'm going to be back here.
Yep.
Sorry. I've seen Die Hard too. So we're going.
But another non-skill victory, I think, would be one of the best ones, is that I've made myself employable, because I wasn't able to work. I was so big that, like, my feet were so swollen, I couldn't walk. My back was so seized, I couldn't walk. So, like, I couldn't do anything. And so I was confined to my house and my car, because I couldn't even go to the grocery store to get a thing of milk. And so being able to lose all that weight and actually I got a qualification, and then I went and got a job. And so it's amazing.
That is incredible. And what do you do now?
I'm a support worker with aged care. So I work with the elderly, and I take them shopping, and I take them to appointments, and I give them showers and help them with their food and things like that. So
that's amazing. Well, congratulations. Cause that is a big non-skill victory.
It is, because through this whole journey of mine, I've spent quite a lot of money, especially with the skin removal surgeries, because they're not cheap. And, you know, I kind of feel guilty that I've spent that much money, but because I've made myself employable, I've made that money back again. So it's not so bad.
There you go. Yeah. And that's what the deal is. I was taught this maybe like probably around when my dad passed, of you can't take it with you. You can't take
That's true.
You know? The money, like, that's what I've learned now. It's like, I'm not an overspender, because my background is actually in accounting. I have my bachelor's degree in it. So I am very actually scared to not have money, because I come from a poor family, right? I did it completely this way, but also like I learned that from my dad, though, is like, have the experiences, go do the things. You can't take actual money with you. It's just a number in a bank account. Like you, if you feel like you need this money to get a coach, if you need this money to get a skin removal, like this is what you need to do. If you want the fancy car, get the fancy car. If you want the boat, get the boat, right? It's like, it's your money, it's your life, it's your experience. So I don't want you to ever feel bad for spending that money. And like you said, like you already made it back.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And money comes and goes. That's what I've learned. I'm almost 40, and that's what I understand is it does. It just ebbs and flows. Just got to ride the storm, baby. So
exactly. And what do they say? Make hay while the sun is shining. And
100%. So you've done two, like obviously you've done more than just two incredible things, but you've shared two really big non-skill victories.
Yeah. Those are the best ones.
Those are the best ones. So what's the relationship now with your kids? I'm sure like you probably get to do more with them.
Yeah. I have a lot of mom guilt. I really do because, you know, when they were younger is when I was really big. And like I used to see the looks and the snickers from the classmates and things like that. So I do have a lot of mom guilt from that. But, you know, I don't have a time machine. I can't go back in time. So I just have to, you know, live in the now. And yeah, it is good. Like we can go and walk the dog and we can go here and we can go there. And yeah, it's really nice.
You actually get out of the house with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, living. And girlfriend, I get it. I was the fat mom.
Yeah.
I understand. I was a fat mom and young mom. That's what my two were. So I got lots of Snickers over here. It was great.
Yes. You know, it's funny. I was 21 when I had my first one. And I thought that I was a young mother. I was 21. And so there was this young mothers group that started up. And I thought, oh, I better go to that because that's me. And then when I got there, it was like 13 and 14 year old girls. And I thought, oh, okay. I feel a lot older now.
Yeah, you feel like, okay, I technically by law, I'm an adult. So yeah. I'm an adult.
But
I mean, I had Dylan. I was 18 turning 19. No. 19 turning 20. I was 19 turning 20 is what mine was.
Yeah. So. And that adds a whole element to it, too. Like with me, like that was a bit traumatizing for me because my friends were all off getting degrees at university. And here I was, you know, having a baby and having to deal with being a mother when I wanted to be one of those ones at the university getting a degree. And so yeah, that was part of it, too. And I think like I coped by eating then.
Yes, 100%. I mean, just by you saying that, I think that's what I did, too.
Yeah.
Because it is devastating to watch all your friends go off. And really, it wasn't all my friends, but there were some friends that went off and had a, you know, good old time and got their degrees and their nurses and their teachers and all these things. And it's like, yeah. I had to wait.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't go back to school till I was 26.
Well, that's 27. Not too bad. Yeah.
That's good. So I told myself I had to do it before I was 30.
Yeah, nice.
That was my rule. And so, like, I get it because it's really hard to balance all the things. And there's no way when you have a kid, you're not going to go not living on the dorms by any means.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No one's like, I want to share a dorm with a baby.
Yeah.
No. So I get it. You're a mom. So, like, how did you navigate, you know, now you're smaller mom? Like. Yeah. How do you feel now?
Well, like I said, like I do feel guilty, but I am learning that that's just a negative emotion that doesn't serve any purpose. So there's no point in feeling guilty. So I am trying to get over that because I did spend, you know, I spent a lot of years being obese. I've been super morbidly obese from about age 25 to 42.
Okay.
So it was a long time.
That's like a long
two
time.
Two decades, basically.
Yeah.
So now, now I just try to live in the now and be happy where I am.
That's
and
good.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not exactly happy where I am because I do wish that I was 44 pounds lighter like I was a couple of years ago, but I'm working on it and it's going to happen.
You're doing all the things.
Yeah.
And you know what? And you just can't give up on yourself. Like just keep pushing forward.
Well, that's right. And it's not about the number itself either. It's just like how I felt.
Yes.
Like, it just happened to be 44, you know, pounds ago that that's where I felt the best, right? I felt like I looked really good and I felt like I felt really healthy and fit and light. And that's where I want to be back again. So that's my mission at the moment.
Well, good. I love that for you. That's amazing. And you, again, you should be very proud of yourself. Are you hitting all the things? Are you getting good sleep? Are you like, I know that there's no therapy and you're working out. So the working out's good. Like,
yeah, so he's a health and fitness coach and he's, I'm doing lifestyle coaching with him. So,
okay.
I mean, he's not a therapist, but he does help a little bit with the mental health aspect and like, you know, making sure that I'm positive and thinking positively and things like that. And that's actually been really helping.
Good.
Yeah. And, what was I going to say? But yeah, like I'm just eating better. I'm at the gym. The sleep, not so great because at the moment I'm off because I had the knee replacement, but normally I have a day job where I work Monday to Friday, 9 to 4:30. But then I also have a night job on Fridays and Saturday nights and I have to stay awake the whole night overnight.
Oh.
And it's a 13-hour shift each
one. Do you want to share what your new one?
It's support work. It's still support work.
Okay.
The lady that I have at the moment that I'm doing the Fridays and Saturdays with, she's 100 years old. She just turned 100.
Wow. That's incredible.
It's amazing. And she still lives at home. She still walks around. Like it's amazing.
That's goals right there.
Right?
Yeah. Yes,
exactly. And so, but it's really hard to stay awake all night. And then to try to catch up on the sleep the next day, it's really hard too. So my sleep isn't the best. Like my coach is always asking me every week, like on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your sleep? And I'm usually at a 5 or 6. So that's the one thing I would like to work on. But well, I think I need to just focus on that a little bit more.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so are you getting 5 to 6 hours worth of sleep? Or you're rating it like between 1 and 10, it's like about a 50-60.
Yeah, when I catch up, so like when I come home at 7:30 in the morning, I tend to do some things and then I sleep from about 12 to 4 or 5. So I get 4 or 5 hours of sleep on those days. Yeah.
It's still hard because you're not getting the sleep in the... Because what sleep, and this sucks for anybody that works graveyard, anybody that, like I used to work 4:30 in the afternoon to 3:10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, these schedules are actually really hard on your brain and your healing and your weight loss.
Absolutely.
Because what your body needs is for it to be the same every day.
Yeah. And when I'm doing 5 days a week of day job and 2 days a week of overnight jobs, my brain it's all messed up. So yep. I'm really probably missing like a whole night of sleep every week.
Yeah. And that's, do you have to do this forever or is this going to end soon or how's this work?
She's 100, so.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but I mean, I do work for it. Like, she can't live forever. Although, you know, she's in pretty good shape. She might live to 105. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. There's some people out there that live alone.
You never know.
I love it.
But I do love the overnights. I do. I mean, it's better money as well, especially on the weekends. See, I don't know if it's the same over there in the States, but here in Australia, you get extra money when you work weekends. So
yes.
Yeah.
Not every place, but it's pretty, every place I've ever worked at, if you work a weekend or after like a certain time, it's like differential pay or something like that.
That's good. Yeah. They call it penalty rates here is what they say, but.
The penalty rates. I like that because it really is. It should be a penalty for you to have to work on the weekend.
Yeah.
So I love that. Well, good. Well, is there, if you could, hold on, let me back myself up. Because I like to ask this question for everyone. So what is the tip that you would give yourself if you could do this all over again?
Oh, I just wish I would have done it earlier. Like that's the big thing. Like I started everything at 42, which is another thing. It's never too late to start. I was 42 when I did all this. But yeah, I mean, honestly, if I would have done it, you know, in my late 20s, that would have been the best.
Yeah.
Before it really got out of hand as well.
Your non-scale victory is also the fact that you wrote a book, Brenda.
I did. Yeah, I just published a book.
Yes, tell us about this book.
Can I show it to you? Here it is.
Oh, you can do all the things. Okay, that's weight loss saved my life. Oh, look at you.
See how big I was there and all my skin in the middle? And
that's incredible. You have done such an amazing job.
Yeah, it took me a couple years to write that. In fact, it was really funny because the publishers, they wanted me to have 40,000 words. And when I finished, I actually had about 73,000. So I really had to cut it back.
Yeah.
But they said to me, they said, make sure you save it, though. Save it in a different document, because if you decide to write another book one day, maybe some of that material can go in there. So that's what I've done.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Now, have you always been a writer? Like, what made you want to do this?
I was always, like, I always did well in school. You know, I was always, like, an academic person in school. But no, I had a few people tell me, like, when I was at my lowest and I had told people about my journey and everything, I had a few people say to me, you know what, you should write a book. And that kind of planted the seed. And then I started thinking, well, if I wrote a book, maybe people who are stuck, who, you know, stuck in the position that I was in, maybe that might give them some hope, maybe make them see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And yeah, I just want to really help other people. I mean, yes, it's nice to tell my story. And in fact, it kind of helped with my healing.
I was like going to say, it probably did. Yeah.
I guess it's like journaling, right? But really, I just want to impact. I just want to make an impact on people. You know, I want them to realize that they aren't stuck in that. It's never too late. They can do something about it. They can get the help and they can save themselves like I saved myself.
I just love that. You gave me goosebumps, Brenda. Oh. You can see them right here. Oh, my goodness. Because it's so real. And I know that feeling. And you can tell that, like, even looking at the cover of your book, you can tell that you really did the work and you mean it and you want to help people.
I do.
Like, in just talking to you, you can tell that, like, you just want to make sure that us big people know that there's not a timeline.
But exactly. You know, it might take a long time. It took me, you know, it took me 4 years to get to where I wanted to be. And even now, like, I'm going back to that. So, I mean, this is a forever journey. It's never going to end, but it's worth it. You know, 100%. You're worth it. And that's what I want people to realize too. Like, I think that was my biggest thing, is I didn't think I was ever good enough and I wasn't worth anything. And that was so wrong. Of course, every life is worth something. You know, you need to get healthy for yourself so you can live a good quality of life.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Brenda, where can they get the book? Where do we go?
At the moment, as we're recording this, it's only on my website, which is www.brendalangford.com. But in May, probably by the end of May, it will be on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and everywhere else. So
that's right, ladies and gents. I'll have it linked below. And even as she gives me the links, I'll just update them to this episode. So when you are on here, if you want to get her book, go below in the description and click those buttons, okay? It means a lot to us that you're watching this, that you're engaging with us, because it really takes a village to really help and be on this journey successfully. And I think, as you can tell, like, you have coaches, you have other support that you do, like, and it, you're in the community, like, you are a part of this. So it's like, we all matter. And
absolutely.
We just, yeah. Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening to us. You know the drill. Get that water, protein, sleep, therapy, movement.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Lastly, the vitamins. These are non-negotiable. Once you actually get surgery, you have to have some sort of vitamin for the rest of your life. Let's not act like you don't. So mine, you know, is ProCare. I've been with them for a very, very long time. They have a pill for each surgery, which is so nice. So the Sadies, the duodenal switches, the bypass, you name it, they got it. And it's one a day. And then you get your calcium. Done deal. So go check that out at procarenow.com. My code is OSLP. And last thing is, don't be an asshole to one another. Bye. Have a great week.
Thanks for tuning into Ours Lead Life podcast. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone that needs it. Remember, small, consistent steps create lasting change. I'll see you on the next episode.